I just want to get into the word here this morning. We're going to be going to Luke chapter 4. Talking is an exercise of collective things. When we talk, it is a collective of our thoughts. And this morning, I'm glad that we cannot read each other's thoughts. Hallelujah. And it's kind of dangerous ground. It is a collective of interests. When we talk, what do? We talk about our interests, those things that we like, those things we don't like. We talk about our passions. We talk about our beliefs. Everybody here has a belief system. Everybody here has a worldview, a philosophy of life, something that they operate by. It is a collective of beliefs, what you believe in. And a lot of times it's relative to the situations in which we find ourselves. There are those that talk out of their feelings. How many know some people wear their feelings on their sleeves? Some people are emotional. Some are a little bit more reserved. But talking is an exercise of our collective feelings, of our collective experiences. And we interpret life according to the experiences that we have. Even our relationship with Jesus Christ is based on our relationship and the experiences that we have had with Him. We talk with an agenda. How many know we have motives? All right, we do. And how many know some talk whether somebody talks back or not? Right? People talk maybe because they just have to talk. Some are built that way. Others are more reserved. But how many know people talk even though there may not be a conversation coming back? Sometimes it's one-sided. How many are married? Hallelujah. We won't go there. We'll move on. But prayer is an exercise of God's collective thoughts. How many know the Bible says His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts? The Bible says we are to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Prayer is an exercise of God's collective interests. How many know that God has passions? How many know we are His major passion? Hallelujah. Because this earth is going to pass away. Everything in it, right, is going to be burned up. And guess what's going to be saved? Hallelujah. People. Prayer is an exercise of God's collective objectives. How many know God has objectives? How many know He wants a relationship with people? He has an agenda that all people should be saved, that people should love Him, that people should worship. That's His agenda. And how many know that God has a will, right? How many have a Bible, right? It's a testament, right? Which is a will. Here's an old will, and praise God, we live under the new will. And so I'm glad today that we do. So maybe the reason we are not seeing God move, like we've been talking about here this morning, or the things that we desire, is because we're doing more talking than we are praying. Maybe it's more about us than Him. That my will be done and not His will be done. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." Do you have confidence here this morning? When you go to prayer, do you have that confidence? "That if we ask, if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us." I grew up in the charismatic movement, and if you ended a prayer in "God's will be done," that was a badge of unbelief. Because we know what the Word of God says. We know what the will of God is. But I'm going to tell you here today, church, there is a sovereign side of God. Hallelujah. That God has a plan and He's going to do what He's doing. Not contrary to His promise, but according to His promises when He wants to do it. I'm telling you here today, it's according to His will. He hears us if we're asking. If we know, it's a condition. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. So today, I'm just going to encourage you to pray God's will. It's not a badge of unbelief, because our promises in the Word of God is His will. But how many know there are a lot of things that God's willing that we're not willing to listen to? We need to pray God's will be done. How many know we're in a political year? We're going to be voting on a president. And some of you already have a mindset. And some of you are already praying. But how many know what the Bible says about that? It says God places people in authority. Does he not? And the Bible also says he turns the hearts of the leaders like a river. How many know that no matter who is in office, guess what? God can still be sovereign. God still can accomplish his will. And how many know what God has in store for the United States? Do you know God's will for the United States? Do you? I don't. I don't even know his will where we take place in Revelation. But all I know is that, Lord, put in office who you want in office and let your will be done, because Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who's in office, because God operated through Pharaoh. God operated through Nebuchadnezzar. God operated through Cyrus. He can operate through anybody. He can accomplish his will. So here today, I'm just encouraging you through the scripture that we're about to read here today, that we need to be submissive to God's will. Yes, pray the promises, hang on to them, because they are just that, promises. And he is faithful to his word. But there is a place where we need to surrender to his will and to what he has planned. I believe we are in the last days, and I believe that God's will be accomplished. With us, church, or without us, he is going to accomplish, but I'd rather do it with him. Amen. As much as we like talking when it comes to praying, it seems sometimes it's very unnatural and awkward. You know, we have asked sometimes, I've asked people to pray in church, and they said, I can't do that. But I say, if you're praying in private, you should be able to pray in public. It should not be awkward. It should not be intimidating that we should be able to pray to God. I think we're intimidated because maybe there's some doubt in our life. Maybe there's a lack of knowledge. Maybe our eyes are on other things other than Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but some of you are pretty good at talking to strangers. You've never met a stranger. But for some of us, it's a little more difficult. I've had conversations with somebody, and my wife will say, who was that? And it's like, I have no idea. But the truth is, sometimes we talk to God like he's a stranger. Sometimes we talk at God instead of with God. Sometimes in our prayer life, it's very confusing, because one time we're saying one thing, and then another we're saying something else. One time we're full of faith, and the next time we're full of doubt. As much as we like talking when it comes to praying, it seems like it's very repetitious. It's boring. Didn't hear any amens. That's a good sign here this morning. But sometimes it can become just that. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 4. This is the story of Jesus being tempted. And many of you are very familiar with this story, but I just want to present a few things here today as this is the kickoff for our week of prayer. Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Isn't that a good start? Being full of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. How many here want to experience that yourself? I hope all of you in this room today. Where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, you think Jesus knew who he was? I believe he did. He said, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine. Do you believe that? Because they are mine, he said, to give anyone I please. I think Jesus has another version to this. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scripture also say, You must not test the Lord your God. Verse 13, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until what? The next opportunity. How many know when we make it through one, how many know he's going to come back around? Matthew 4:11 is the same scripture, but it ends with this way, then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. How many want to be taken care of by angels? Amen. We see it at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, here as he's being tempted, and we see that even in the garden, after he said, not my will, but thy will be done, the angels came to minister to Jesus. Hallelujah. How many are ready to be serious about praying? We need to be serious. In this gospel story, we see three spiritual disciplines in operation. We see prayer, we see fasting, and we see scriptural knowledge. And so these are very important. How many know that all of us are going to face temptation? Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation, right? You will have temptations. You will have problems. You will have issues. We cannot escape. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ thinking you're exempt, well, I hate to pop your bubble here this morning because you're not exempt. Prayer, fasting, and scriptural knowledge, these are very important. One of the things that we learned in the fire company is that there are three things needed to make a fire burn and to keep it going, and that's oxygen, fuel, and heat. And the thing is, if you remove one of those things, what happens? The fire goes out. So all you have to do is remove one of those three elements, and the fire will dissipate. And so our prayer life should be that we desire to be red hot. We should be excited about being able to come before God, before his throne, and ask for absolutely anything and everything. It should be red hot. And that takes prayer, it takes fasting, and it takes scriptural knowledge. We need to pray according to God's will. And so if we remove any one of those elements, guess what? It's going to temper our prayer life. And the thing is, we're pretty good maybe at prayer. Maybe we're pretty good at scriptural knowledge. But many of us aren't very good at fasting. And so that is something that we kind of need to learn as a discipline. It is not something that we can command you or tell you how to do it, but it's according to how the Spirit led you. We see that in that scripture, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit, not just into the wilderness, but he was led to fast for 40 days. And right now, I don't feel like fasting for 40 days. I do not feel led. And I encourage you, if you're doing it for the first time or you haven't done it, do not set 40 days as your goal. Amen? You're not going to make it. All right? God would have to come down, I think, in a cloud and say, Tim, I want you to fast for 40 days. Amen? I have to hear very clearly on that one. As you can tell, I like to eat. So prayer, fasting, and scriptural knowledge, if we want a red hot relationship with God, these are important elements to accomplishing that. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give him an advantage. Do not give him place. Do not give him an opportunity in your life. And the truth is when we begin to be slack in one of these three disciplines, guess what? We're kind of letting down our guard and we're giving place to the devil. So if we read Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil a foothold. And we continue with what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, so that Satan will not outsmart us. I don't know how many of you have been outsmarted by the devil. How many of you have sinned? You've been outsmarted. For we are familiar with his evil schemes and or devices. We need to understand here today that the devil is not all-powerful. He is not all-knowing, and he is not everywhere. Sometimes we give him more power and authority than he deserves. The Bible says that one day the nations will look at him and say, this is the guy. This is the guy who caused all the trouble. Folks, why are we letting him have his way in our lives? Do not give place to the devil so that he will not outsmart us. Church, some of us are falling into the same traps we need some new tactics. And he's already laid it out in the scripture. What do we need to do? We need to pray, fast, and know God's word. Because the old ways are not working. If we keep doing the same things, we're going to get the same results, right? And that's what some of us are doing. We're kind of in a cycle. We're doing well, we give in the temptation, and we're right back from the beginning again. Church, we need to break the cycle. Jesus demonstrated what works: prayer, fasting, and scripture. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to who? To God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice what's first. What do? We submit to God. Some of us are so busy resisting the devil that we forgot to submit to God, to come to God, to have that prayer life. I don't care how powerful you think you are, what kind of authority you think you are, who you think you are. But today, I want to just reaffirm today that the authority that we have is Jesus' authority. He said, all authority in heaven and earth are mine, right? But John 1:12 says what? He has given us what? The right, the privilege, the authority to be the sons of God. Woo! It's his authority. So submit yourself to him, bring God in it first, and then resist the devil. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, 9. Be alert and be of sober mind. Your enemy, you understand, he is your enemy. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What do? Resist him, standing firm in the faith. What comes first? Standing firm in the faith. When we're standing firm in the faith, what? We can resist him. We kind of are getting that backwards a little bit. We're not walking in the authority of Jesus Christ. We're walking in our own authority. We're talking and not praying enough. Because when we pray, what? We're praying according to God's will, his desires, his plan, his interests, his passions. But when we're talking, guess what? It's ours. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever fasted. That's suffering. Hallelujah. We'll talk about that in a minute here. Like Jesus, we can be full of the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus, we can be led by the Spirit. But be guaranteed, when we do, what? Temptation will come. Problems will come. The devil will show up. That's a promise. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. And folks, some of us are getting a little bit too cozy in the world. What are we watching? What are we doing? Paul said, do not allow your freedom to become a stumbling block. Well, I can do this and still go to heaven. I can still do this and be full of the Holy Spirit. Be careful. Be careful, church. Amen. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And so as we look at this story here in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was tempted in these very three areas: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What are we talking about? The lust of the flesh? What? He hadn't eaten for 40 days. I have never fasted for 40 days. And like I said, I have no intent fasting 40 days unless the Lord wills it. But they say after a period of time, if you've fasted, what? Your hunger goes away. And then after about 40 days, guess what? It kicks back in. Your body says, hey, all right, it's time to eat before you start doing damage to your body. So Jesus has fasted for 40 days, and he is hungry, the Bible says. He's hungry. And so what is the first temptation? Turn this stone into bread. What? It's the desires of the flesh, is it not? And I want to remind you here today, if we can contain or control the hunger in our body, this flesh, guess what? There's not one area of your life that you will not be able to control. You need to control this first, this appetite for food. Amen. And many of us are not doing very well in other areas of our lives because we haven't controlled this. And this is just something that he's put into effect. If you will what? Pray, fast, and quote God's word, you will walk in victory. But the lust of the flesh, we pamper it. We coddle it. But I'm telling you here today, if you can control it, you can control any area of your life. Secondly, the lust of the eyes. The devil promised him the kingdoms of the world. He said, see their glory, see that I have this authority. They had Adam and Eve syndrome, did they not, right? Years ago when I was at Bible college, they showed a video from Fred Price. How many know who Fred Price is? And the title of his sermon was Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. And as he was preaching that, it was funny, but at the same time, it was sad. Because he was giving illustrations of how people, in the name of faith, do some crazy things. And how many know if God tells you to do something, usually it's kind of crazy anyway, right? So faith, right? We walk in faith, we do faith. If God gives you a word, you walk in faith and obey that. But he also talked about foolishness. Some of the things, the weird things that people do that are not even biblical in the name of Jesus Christ. Foolish. Or even presumption. How many of us presumed upon God that we think this is God's will and we step out? Faith, foolishness, and presumption, church, very dangerous areas that we need to make sure that we have a word from God. Probably all temptation could fall under one of these three categories that I mentioned here today. Jesus went into the wilderness with the Holy Spirit with his eyes open. Jesus was preparing for his earthly ministry. And the Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by what? The things that he suffered. And as I said, fasting can cause suffering in your life. How many have worked through the day, you got up with your feet feet on the ground running, you skip breakfast, skip lunch, and at the end of the day you kind of realize, I didn't even eat all day. But how many know when you get to that place and say, I'm going to fast, how many know the battle begins? Because all you can think of is food, food, food. Food, 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 right? And if you're going to plan on fasting, be prepared for the battle of the mind, right? Be prepared. Jesus was prepared. He was prepared in the wilderness. He was prepared the next time the devil showed up, the next time, the next time, the next time, even to the garden. How did Jesus overcome? Jesus was prayed up. Church, he was prayed up. Jesus had all his passions under control through fasting. Jesus stayed submitted to his Father and the leading of the Holy Spirit because he knew the scriptures and the will of God. Do you know the will of God? If you don't know the will of God, we need to find the will of God. Be ready in season and out of season. Petra had a song years ago, Armed and Dangerous. Amen. Jesus was armed and dangerous. And church, we need to be armed and dangerous. The new year is a great time to reset our agendas and establish new habits. We have been invited by our fellowship to join them in a week of seeking God for 2024 with prayer, fasting, and scripture reading. And so we want to join them. We want to be part of what God's doing. And so let's prepare for an awakening at Chapel on the Hill. And so I want to encourage you as we close out here this morning. We're not ending the service. Don't get too excited. But this week, And I encouraged you last week, start with a clear goal. If you're going to pray and fast, and if you're going to seek God's word for what's coming this year, what you want to see happen this year, we need to set some clear goals. We need to be specific. Why would anyone want to fast? Why do you want to fast? You better label it. You better have a purpose. We don't just fast to fast because we think it's spiritual. No, we fast for a purpose. The question is, what do you need? Maybe there are some things you need to start in your life, some things you've become lax in, some things that you need to be doing. And maybe there's some areas of your life that you've been wrestling with for years, and you know you need to deal with it. Now's that opportunity. What do you need? I'm going to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and name your fast. If you're going to fast, name it. Why are you fasting? Don't fast just because, oh, that's the thing to do. Name your fast. Pray daily. Read the Bible, expecting the Lord to speak to you. We gave you a couple handouts here today. As you walked in here today, and if you didn't, they're on each table as you walk out. There's a bookmarker. These are the points that the Assemblies of God had put out for the week of prayer. And they're encouraging you to pray these prayers. How many know it's good to have variety in your prayer life and not to pray the same thing day in, day out? And so this year, the theme is awakening. And today's theme or purpose today is to ask God to help us to be faithful and steadfast in prayer. How many know some of us need prayer for our prayer? God help us. If you don't like it, guess what? God probably doesn't like it either. Hallelujah. If you're bored, he's probably bored. All right? So pray for your prayer life, and you can read them there as you might have to flip it. We didn't copyright, but all right. So each day has a different theme, something that you can use and emphasize. And Linda Miller, she asked weeks ago if we could hand this out, and it's a scriptural basis for praying for those who are prodigals. How many have prodigals in their family? Right? And so she asked me if we could do that, and if somebody wants prayer, we're not going to turn them down, right? We're going to be encouraged to do that. So that's there also on the table if you did not get one, and we encourage you to take that time. We also encourage you, get in the Word of God. We have some Bible reading programs back there. There's some on your phone for the apps that are there on your phone to read through the Bible, but if you want something that you can mark and mark off, there's some back there for you to use. So as we close here today, wouldn't it be nice for us to pray? So I'm going to encourage if three individuals would like to lead here today in prayer as we kind of close out the service today. We are in a political year, right? So we need to be praying now for what God has in store for our leadership of our nation. How many know our government is broken? Amen. It's broken. And so God can still use it to bring out what he needs to happen. So we need to be praying about that. We need to be praying for our church as we present our vision to you. We need a vision, and we need to run with it. And be excited about what God has called us to do. We are called to be part of his great commission.